And if you will, you can be turning in your Bible to 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6. It's good to see everybody here this morning. Let's open our hearts now and receive with meekness the engrafted word. It's able to save our souls. Started a series of lessons for this year, and we are going to try to memorize this mantra of thinking about things that we need to leave behind, that we need to run from, flee, things that we need to pursue or follow, and things that we need to fight for. Flee, follow, and fight, those three terms. Post those things on your mirror or your refrigerator, something somewhere that will remind you that today is a day to flee, today is a day to follow, today is a day to fight. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, in a crucial time when persecution was rising against the Lord's people, and Paul himself was soon to be executed, as well as Peter, and their world was about to turn upside down, there were things that they needed to think about during their crisis. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 says, "But you, maybe everybody else doesn't think this way. Maybe everybody else doesn't have a clue of what to do. But you, O man of God, flee these things. Flee the love of money, compromising in order to have money. Those things you need to run away from. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, as we see in our world today." So he is saying, flee. You be different than that. You be someone who flees the love of money. It's not wrong to have money. The love of money that causes you to compromise your spiritual principles. Your value system is greater than money. And so don't let the love of money cause you to compromise your values, your true riches, your true values. Flee those things. There are some things that you are to run toward. Run from some things, run toward others. Pursue righteousness and godliness. Go after faith. Go after love. Go after patience. Go after gentleness. Those are some of the things he is just mentioning. We'll mention some others that come from other passages, but those are some of the things that you can go after. You can never get enough. You can never have too much. You can never say, "I've got all there is." Those are things that are yours in proportion to your pursuit of those things. If you neglect them, you'll lose them. You have to go after certain things. And then verse 12, the other word is fight. Fight the good fight. It's a fight of faith. It's not a physical fight. Our warfare is not carnal. It is spiritual. It is a fight of faith. It is a fight from our faith. It is a fight to have more faith, to be faithful, to lay hold of eternal life. The thing that we are pursuing the most, we have to fight for it. Fight and lay hold on eternal life. You were called to this, to which you were called, and have confessed the good confession. We said we believed in Jesus. We said He is the Son of God when we came to be baptized into union with Him. That must be so. It must be so now, more so than it was at the moment of our baptism. We must not let our faith values fall into nothing. We have to fight for those things. So, since we're fighting, and since we're following, and since we're fleeing certain things, let's think of three areas. Those three areas again. But this time I'm going to pursue some other thoughts that are not directly necessarily in this text. The first one that I'd like us to think about, fleeing this year. Fleeing moral apathy. Moral apathy is where you don't care. Apathy is not caring. Apathy is being so casual and flippant and careless about your moral integrity. Your moral integrity is tried every day, and you either care about it or you don't. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in a world of much moral degradation and sin, Corinth was known for how degrading and sinful and sexually immoral that society had become. There was a group of disciples there that said, we're going to come out of all of that. We're not going to be identified with all of that. We're going to identify with Jesus. And so in order not to be like the world, they had to commit to Jesus. And then they had to be reminded over and over, you said you were going to be united to Jesus. Now, if you're going to be united to Jesus, you cannot go back into the sexual immorality of the world. Chapter 5, they already did. They had a man with his father's wife, and the church there didn't seem to care whether or not that was the case. And then in chapter 6, he told them, here's a list of things. If you practice this, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then in chapter 6, dropping back down a little further into about verse 18, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, here's our word again. Flee sexual immorality. Run from it. Don't run toward it. Don't dabble with it. Don't play around with it. Don't let the world dictate to you that the flesh must be satisfied in every way. No, you cannot allow yourself to think that way. The lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life are the principles of the world. And they think that way because they can't think any other way. But you can think differently. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Why? Because when you were baptized, you were saying, I am now going to be united to Christ, and instead of being my body now being an instrument of sin and unrighteousness, Romans 6 would say, no, you have now said, I am going to be an instrument of righteousness. I was a slave of sin and passion, letting all of those lusts guide me and overcome me and overwhelm me, but now I'm letting Jesus overwhelm me. And since Jesus is overwhelming me, He tells me to direct those kind of passions in a certain way. And that certain way is to keep yourself until you are married. Sexual immorality is a sin. Sex before marriage is a sin. You are saying to this person, hey, I'm untrustworthy and I want you to be untrustworthy. Well, you want that to follow through then the rest of your life, that both of you are going to be untrustworthy in regards to your sexual passions? Well, he says here, you've got to run away from it. You remember Joseph? Joseph, when Potiphar's wife made advances toward him, he ran. That's a case of someone fleeing fornication. That's what the principle was, I cannot allow myself to sin against my God. That's what he said. Now, she didn't have that principle inside her, but Joseph did. Joseph had that principle. That's why we're saying that you've got to have principle. You've got to follow those principles. And you've got to run away from certain things. Living together before marriage is condemned. Chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians goes ahead and says, now, chapter 7, verse 1. Now, concerning the things that you've wrote to me, of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. In other words, in fleeing sexual immorality, you find that the only place you can satisfy those kinds of desires is in that marriage union, not before. By keeping yourself pure before marriage, you demonstrate that you can keep yourself pure after marriage. Now, Hebrews chapter 13 has this to say about that topic. Hebrews 13, verse 4. The Hebrew writer says marriage is honorable. Marriage is. Why? Because that's the place where God says you are one flesh together. Your union together is good. Union outside of marriage is not honorable. It is not anything but sinful. You've betrayed yourself. You've betrayed your own value system. You are betraying your principle of not sinning against your God. And you're sinning against the person that you're claiming to love. If you truly love that person, you will say, we've got to control our passions until we're married. Marriage is honorable. Among all, there is no place where marriage is not the honorable thing. And the bed, there's nothing wrong with what you do in the bed with the marriage partner. It's undefiled. But fornicators are those who pursue sexual desire before they're married or without ever being married. Or pursue something, some partner, in addition to marriage. That's adultery. Fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Just realize this. You won't go to heaven. You will meet God in judgment. You may seem to think, well, I'm getting away with it now because nobody else knows. God knows. So we've got to have the principle of Joseph inside of us that instead of dabbling with it and playing around with it, getting somewhere private where we can stimulate those desires even more and think that we're getting away with something, we've got to have the principle inside us to flee moral apathy. Because we've let our guard down. We become apathetic about our moral principles and what our bodies are supposed to be dedicated to. And so, we must be people who flee, run away from, like Joseph did, because we are not going to sin against God. How can I do this great wickedness? Joseph said. It's great wickedness. Now Potiphar's wife says, well, nobody will have to need to find out. But Joseph knew. I'll know. And God will know. And so fleeing sexual immorality must be one of our moral principles we hold dear to our hearts. It must be our conviction that marriage is the honorable place. That's where one of the places I can flee sexual immorality and be safe. Follow high principles of righteousness. That's what Joseph was following. Now, let's turn back to 2 Timothy just a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I want you to notice verse 10. 2 Timothy 3, verse 10. Now, this is Paul's last letter. He says, the time of my departure is at hand. He's on death row. The Roman government had captured him a second time. This time, he's not going to be released. He's going to be executed. He's going to be executed because he told the truth. And people didn't like to hear truth. Now, he's pleading with Timothy. I'm not going to be around to encourage you anymore, Timothy. You've got to get your strength inside yourself. You have carefully, that's 2 Timothy 2 verse 10, or 3 verse 10. You have carefully followed my doctrine. You know what I've taught you, and you've been careful to follow my doctrine. You don't need me around to continue to do that. You have carefully followed my doctrine. You have carefully followed my manner of life. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that he followed Christ. So you follow me because I follow Christ. Now you have done that, Timothy. You have carefully followed my doctrine. You have carefully followed my manner of life. You have carefully followed my purpose. Have you got a purpose? That purpose has got to be, brethren. My purpose is to fear God and keep His commandments all the way to the end and not compromise. That's been my purpose. That's got to be your purpose. You carefully followed my faith. You said Paul, you saw Paul go through highs and lows. You saw him being beaten, left for dead. You've seen him go through many trials. He had the faith to endure those trials. Timothy, pursue that. Go after that. You've seen Paul's faith. You pursue it for yourself. Long suffering. Suffering long through different trials, the ability to stick to it. And you pursued my love. The love that I have for God, you said, I want to have that kind of love for God too. The love I have for the brethren, you said, I want to have that kind of love too. You have done that. You've been carefully following that. That's our word. Flee certain things, follow certain things. And you followed my doctrine. You followed my manner of life. You followed my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my love, and my perseverance. Perseverance meaning the ability to stick with it to the end. You followed my persecutions. Persecutions did not deter me from my purpose. Persecutions did not conquer me. Persecutions must not conquer you. Afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. I went into them, I got out of them. Those are things that will happen to you, Timothy, and consequently, will happen to us. Follow the faith that you see. Brethren, let's read our Bibles like we've never read them before. Read them now and cherish your Bible. Read it like it is the greatest treasure you have, because it should be, and to those who know it, it really is. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in the things which you have heard and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. You continue. So flee moral apathy, sexual immorality, and follow high principles of righteousness that you've seen displayed in men of conviction like Paul, like Timothy. Follow high principles of righteousness like Jesus said. It's not going to be just superficial pursuit of righteousness. It has to be a righteousness that is greater than that of the scribes and Pharisees. Remembering our study in Matthew chapter 5 through 7 of Jesus' great Sermon on the Mount and Him saying, your righteousness, my disciples are going to have to go after a righteousness that is greater than that of the scribes and Pharisees. One of those great principles of righteousness is in Matthew 7 verse 12, where He said, and we call it the golden rule. The golden rule, remember, is to do unto other people as you would have them to do unto you. That is, treat other people like you want to be treated. That makes you the one who is pursuing the principle and then showing the principle. And then in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus talks about that you're going to have to love your enemies. Love your enemies. Your high principle of love is what you're going to have to pursue it. You're going to have to reach for it. You're going to have to reach high, because your enemies will be after you. It'll be hard. It's easy to love those who love you, but it's harder to love those who hate you and who want to destroy you. But Jesus' principle here is that we're going to have to follow high principles of righteousness. And finally, we're going to have to fight. As we said in our lesson last week, you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to fight for your faith. You're going to have to fight for your love to grow. It's not going to be handed to you. You're going to have to fight for it. In 1 Peter chapter 3, he says you're going to have to set, and Peter's writing during this terrible time of persecution. But he's saying in 1 Peter 3 verse 15 that you're going to have to sanctify the Lord in your heart. What's that mean? Sanctify means you've got to set God apart from everything else and keep Him in your heart. Put Him there and keep Him there. Set the Lord in your heart. Set Him apart into your heart. Fight for that. Set the Lord apart in your heart and be ready to give an answer. Someone asked, why are you so different? Why do you seem to be okay? And you can say, well, you know what? I'm okay because God is with me. He promised that He'd be with me always. Now, brethren, you have to fight for that kind of faith. The kind of faith that believes that God will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. To the Hebrew writer in chapter 13 says that I will be with you. It's one of the principles that the Hebrew brethren were to memorize and always remember, that the Lord is with us. John would say, listen, He that is in us is greater than he who is in the world. He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Or Paul would say in Romans chapter 8, that if God is for us, who can be against us? It's not to say that nobody will be against you. They will. But who are they when God is for you? That's his point. So you got to fight for that kind of faith. Nobody can drop it into your heart. You got to fight for it. You got to separate the Lord your God into your own heart. I can't preach it in there. I would wish that I could. But you've got to fight for it. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, Paul, in his last words, this is what I want before my end. Here's what I want to be able to say. I did fight. I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Isn't that what you want to be able to say? But you see, Paul was able to do that because he fled from certain things, he followed certain things, and he fought for certain things. Fight for your faith to be like his. So when it comes your end, you will be able to say, I fought a good fight too. I fought all the way. And I got stronger and stronger. And the Lord was with me through every trial. That's what we need to pursue, brethren. That's what we need to fight for. Flee other things, but fight for those things. Okay, let's get our song book. If you've never obeyed the gospel, we'd like to extend that invitation to you to obey Him today, repenting of sins, confessing faith in Him, and being baptized for the remission of sins. If you need to know more about that, why you should do that, we'd be glad to study with you further, but if you're already to the point, well, I know I need to repent, I know why I need to be baptized, and you're wanting to do that now and we can help you, please let your wishes be made known as we stand together and sing.